Hey everybody, it's Jared. Just wanted to let you know that we are covering the All Voices Film Festival. What is that, you ask? Well, it's a little short film fest on Amazon. So if you have Amazon Prime, I just accidentally found this thing on there with all these really interesting short films. And here, I'll read you a little bit of what the contest is. So it's Prime Video is hosting an annual All Voices Film Festival celebrating underrepresented communities. So that seems pretty cool to me. So I went and we curated a bunch of them. We did a few episodes, so we're going to break them down and see how they are. And this intro is already going way too long, so let's cue the music. Hey, welcome back again. It's me, Dan.
Wrong.
And that's Jared.
I'm here too. You cannot speak for me.
Oh, that's right. I'm Jared, that's Dan.
Jared and Dan covering some independent films. Independent?
Oh. Oh no. Oh no. Dan, how you been, bud?
I've been pretty good. I've been watching a lot of these short films that you just dropped on me.
Maybe too much. We've seen a lot of short films.
Like, so much that, like, they were okay to watch, but then I'm thinking in my head, like, how the fuck are we going to cover all of these films in, like, 30 to 40 minutes?
Yes.
Because there's a lot to talk about.
Yes, there is a lot of... things to talk about for these. Yes, there's so much content. There's too much content. So I was thinking of maybe doing a multi-part episode. Even if we did 4 or 5 episodes of this, we would not even come close to covering how many. There's like 13 pages of short films on there.
Oh, I saw 19, many of them, man.
Yeah, many of them are excellent. Yes. There's some really good stuff on there. So I encourage everybody, anyone's listening to this, to go and find this on Amazon. I think if you just Google All Voices Film Festival, you'll find it. And it's pretty neat. I think the contest ends on the 24th. Or it doesn't end. That's when the finalists are chosen. Yes, so that's kind of where
narrowing
it's
narrowing
like
down
up.
The path on the 24th of June.
Yes. So let's get right into this. Because there is too much.
So we are going to be watching Learning to Drive. Because the lead actor, Connor Long... saw that we were doing this. We announced it on Twitter, and he's like, hey, you should check out my film. So we did. It's called Learning to Drive.
You know what's cool, though?
What?
Is I already had this film on my queue
before
he even messaged us. Yeah.
Perfect.
Because I looked at it, I read the synopsis, and I'm like, this sounds really heartwarming, and I've never seen a movie like this before. So I was like, I want to see this immediately. So let us know what the gist of...
Learning Drive is about two brothers whose mother has just passed away. They're going to the Grand Canyon to spread her ashes.
Yes.
And one of them is a raging alcoholic, kind of. And the other one has Down syndrome.
Yes. So yeah, this movie, I enjoyed it. I really like the intro. That like intro sequence.
That's my first note. I'm like, holy shit. There's really cool music, really cool effects in terms of the overall, just the overall aesthetic of the pictures going in and out.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Really well done. So that really gets you locked into the film. And the music was odd, but good. I don't know. It was weird. I enjoyed it, though.
To me, the music... takes a nosedive after the credits. I did not enjoy the music much afterwards, but that's just me.
Overall, I thought the acting was good.
The acting was fantastic. The story was great.
Yes, I liked the story. It got a little complicated, though, because we have two guys on a road trip to deliver the mother's ashes, and then we got something in a bag that might be money that the brothers stole, which is a little confusing. And he's like, now he's like, hey, we got to go to Vegas. He's like, is he trying to spend all that money at Vegas to try to double up? And
maybe
he seems
like
very
right.
irresponsible.
Drinking while driving, getting pulled over by the cops.
somehow not getting arrested.
being in front of a prison that people have escaped from, apparently.
Yeah. So I like that scene. So the whole gist of it is the younger brother wants to drive.
Yes.
He wants to learn to drive, but the older brother's telling him, you can't drive because you have Down syndrome and you won't be able to get a license, which apparently is untrue. I don't know the laws at all about this. But the police officer that pulls them over tells them, hey, you know, he can. If he can pass the test, he can get a license. So the younger brother decides to steal his brother's car. They named the car Bruce because apparently in the mother's will, he left that car to him anyways. So he goes on a little driving adventure, which is kind of fun. And the car breaks down in the middle of the desert while he's practicing how to drive. And he meets two inmates. Even that kind of, like, there's just so many things. It almost felt like an odyssey to an extent of, like, there's a lot of things going on. And he meets these two silly inmates. And they were kind of fun. I didn't like that one guy's, like, British accent. He felt way too cartoony.
Yeah, he kind of took me out of the movie. Were a cartoon, basically.
He's like, Johnny!
Do you remember...
Good.
Do you remember that one... What is it? Is it Diamonds Are Forever? Where, like, Mr. Wink and Mr. Fib? the Bond villains that are, like, this really strange...
I don't remember that. Mr. Wink and Mr. Fib sounds like some kind of safe search activity that... You're looking at porn, Dan, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I mean, Bond.
You need to clear your search history of Mr. Fib and Winkle tits or whatever you've
Some people who have seen James Bond, Diamonds Are Forever, will understand that reference.
Closing statements. I like this a lot. One big issue for me was there was some choppy editing.
Oh, that's my big note. It's not even choppy editing. It's jump cuts. Like they overuse jump cuts.
Were bad. Yeah. Yes, they were bad. I don't know if they're intentional. They should not have been.
I think they were intentional, and some of them worked, but a lot of them didn't. And whenever a lot of them don't, it really draws attention to it. Like you said,
you can't jump cut to the same camera angle. Okay,
you're right. So a jump cut is 30 degrees or less of movement.
Mm-hmm. So this camera didn't move at all.
You can technically jump cut, but it feels more awkward than it should. Because
You need to jump cut to another scene, then.
Well, right? That's not a jump cut. A jump cut is specifically you're filming the same thing, and then you move the camera like less than 30 degrees, and you shoot it again. But if you have a jump cut that is, you know, 0 degrees, it's still technically a jump cut. It looks even more awkward than jump cuts normally look. Jump cuts are designed to make you feel off-put.
Yes. Okay. Well, I definitely felt that way and not in a good way. So the scene we're talking about is when the police officer is talking to the older brother outside of the car and he thinks he's going to go to jail. And there's just these not good cuts during this moment. How would you fix this, Dan? Like, how could you make this good then, I guess?
I mean, they did a pretty good job of cutting back to the brother in the car, like, eavesdropping.
Yes, that was good.
So just maintain that, that
back and forth
relationship, yeah.
But yeah, but that's what I was saying. So it's like they were doing jump cuts while not cutting to another thing. It was like all in that one spot. It felt like they maybe didn't have enough film or something.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, this is what we got to work with. So we're just going to have to edit around us not getting enough takes. That's what it kind of felt like to me. It's unfortunate. In the long run, it doesn't hurt the film that much, but it is something we do. I thought we had to talk about.
I forgot to say overall, this at the top, directed by Roderick E. Stevens II.
Oh, the second.
Thank you, Roderick.
Yeah, thank you. And yeah, I enjoyed it. It was good.
By the way, this first episode of... these short films that we're doing, these are all my picks. Okay. I just wanted to point that out.
Oh, shots fired.
Dan picked all of these movies. Anyway.
Unbelievable.
The next film we covered was called Panopticon, directed by Jared Su.
This film is about the future. It's about technology.
So
it's about drone warfare.
Yes. The basic premise of this is this guy. He controls drones and he feels guilty about it because they're all teenagers. Well, he's murdering teenagers that are unaware that they are delivering bombs, essentially.
Yes. So in the future, drone warfare is literally drone, like tiny, like like your dad's drone, you know, that he takes to fly, and like those tiny things, and they can go invisible and they can vaporize you in a second.
Which were really crazy. Cool effects. Like the invisible drone effects were pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah. The special effects on the future computers was good. I like how they're just a pane of glass and then the images show up on them. That's neat. I thought everything about this was well done. I enjoyed it, except for the ending was a little confusing to me.
The woman was getting watched by a drone. She thought she heard a presence.
Oh, that was cool. I meant like, so, okay, so this guy is hired by the government as a contractor to kill terrorists that are in the country. It's not even like somewhere else. So this is how crazy this future is, where like nobody has any privacy anymore. And these unwitting kids are transporting illegal books. Apparently they're called redacted, which I thought was neat, of books that people aren't allowed to have anymore. Mm-hmm. And they think they're just transporting books, but they're really transporting bombs.
Yeah.
And so he's feeling apprehensive about vaporizing these people, because he's like, it doesn't seem like they even know what they're doing. And he starts feeling bad about it. And over the course of this, it kind of gets into his like war background and some of the stuff that happened when he was at war, and his relationship between him and this kid who he meets. And he's like trying to help him, and that kid kind of gets tied up into all this terrorism stuff unwittingly. So he's trying to save him, and he does, but ends up getting killed in the process, which I thought was cool. The thing I thought was weird is, or interesting rather, I should say. The thing I thought was weird was, it turns out that the very government that was hiring the main character to do the drone stuff, I guess it kind of makes sense. So they're manufacturing terrorism.
Yeah.
So the government is making terrorist threats to fund their own projects. Okay, that makes perfect sense. I take back everything I just said. I mean, this is a really dark future. But
yeah, but like,
that's crazy.
What is the biggest shortcoming of this film is, there's just so much story building that is implied that I want to know more about. And it just made me, and the film's already 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You don't want to go over 45 minutes with a short film, but like, there's just so much. This could easily be made into a feature length film, basically.
Oh, yeah. I'd probably watch it.
Yeah.
It was good. Because I wanted to know more about his relationship with his friend who was in the wheelchair, who felt betrayed. There's a lot of like references to other things you just don't get to find about. There's all kind of backstory. And I thought it was well shot. I said, I love the special effects. The acting was good. Everything was good about it.
Absolutely.
I can't really think of a bad thing to say.
I can't either.
I mean,
I was that, really
that scene
thinking
of those
for a bad
two giraffes
thing
fucking at the end was a little much, but it was like
you have
10
a problem
minutes
with giraffes.
Giraffes just going. I don't know. You know why I'm thinking of giraffes? Because I was at an IKEA and I found a picture of a giraffe, and it was like this artistic picture. It was cool looking, but upon further inspection, I realized that the giraffe has a butthole directly in the center of its forehead. And this made me so happy that now all I can think about are giraffes and their beautiful, beautiful forehead buttholes. And does that make me a bad person?
No.
I don't think it does. All right, next movie. Mr. and Mrs. Kim.
By Jaehyun Chung.
Do you want to explain that, Dan?
Yes, of course. It's basically a kid with an overactive imagination struggling with the fact that he needs to bring his parents to career day.
Yes.
Which... his parents are Korean immigrants who are, they run a laundromat.
Dry cleaning, yeah.
My bad. They run a dry cleaning store, and he's just embarrassed about them. But he's really good at artwork, so he keeps doing art everywhere. And I have to say right off the bat, one of the funniest jokes I heard in this batch of films is from this film. Where he has, like, in the middle of the film, he has to explain to his parents what career day is. Mm-hmm. And the dad's like...
oh, yeah, this is good.
Back in Korea, every day is career day.
Yeah, oh, shit. So, I think it's obvious so to say... hard. Yeah. I feel like it's obvious that we both love this movie, right?
Yes, absolutely.
This movie is fucking great. It's fantastic.
It's very funny. It's very funny. It's witty. Basically, yes. One of the best aspects of the film is the kid in the middle of career day is making up stories as to why his parents can't be here. Mm-hmm. And what's fascinating about that is the parents, the actors who are playing the parents, are they're acting out what the kid is imagining.
Yes, it's awesome.
And I fucking love that.
So basically, he's embarrassed that his parents are just dry cleaners, so he makes up a story that they're actually secret agents.
Yes.
And that they escaped North Korea to come here to America, and they're crime fighters and stuff. And all of that's represented. Mm-hmm. So well done. The visuals are so fun and interesting. Even when he gets in, afterwards, when he's really embarrassed about all this, he locks himself in his room, and it actually shows, a jail cell coming down and locking him in.
Yeah.
But it's only in his head. It's not really even there. And then it cuts back and it's just a door that his parents are standing behind. And they're like, "You're not in trouble." And he's like, "I'm making myself in trouble," or whatever. And I love the heart of this movie. I love the premise. I thought it was so good. Cause what if you got to bring your parents to career day and you're kind of embarrassed for them? And I loved the idea behind it, which was basically, it breaks down to this one line that I liked a lot from the mom character when they're sitting down with their son, because he's talking to them about why he did what he did. And she's like, "Our dream was for you to be anything you dream," which mm-hmm. I thought, okay, that's kind of the whole point of this short, to where they gave up their dreams to make a better future for their kids. And I feel like a lot of people do that.
Absolutely.
Can relate to that. Yes.
And then Nick Cage destroys everything.
That's right. And I mean, work wasn't good where they were, so they came here for the dream. And I don't know. I just really like that. And there's so many good scenes like that that are so poignant. Also, another worthy side note, very good child acting.
Yeah.
The chacting, as we call it in the biz.
Yes, absolutely.
Excellent chacting.
Also, bonus points for a Wilhelm scream.
Oh, yes. Oh, so much fun. I loved it. Oh, I could have watched definitely an entire film of this.
Yeah.
Of this kid going on adventures. It was just very well shot. Anyways, all right. We got more movies.
Next film is Monday by Din Tai.
Monday.
I hope I pronounced his name right, but you know, it's there. So this film is about a illegal substance runner doing a lot of illegal substance running. So substances could be drugs, guns, you know, cell phones that are being ported, you know, shit like that. Yes.
He may be doing illegal things and he may be a bad boy.
Yeah.
But he's really got a heart of gold.
Absolutely.
Okay? Because he's trying to take care of his sick mom. All right. It's all for her.
Yeah. But he's also still going to do that thing instead of take care of his girlfriend. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, so what did you think of this movie?
It was the best one that I had seen so far in this group.
Yes.
Very action packed. Has a lot of really, it has like one of the best narrative arcs in a 20 minute span. It's very hard to pull off that in 20 minute span. It does it really well. There's a white couple in this that made me laugh. You know, it made me chuckle a little bit because the white guy is just insane.
The guy's all coked up.
But then there's another, his main pusher. I forgot what his name is. Well, the lead character is Quan, but his main pusher, he says this line that made me laugh uncontrollably.
Was it the guy who was getting high?
Yeah, he's getting high. He's trying to get everybody else high. And then one of the guys is like, "Why are you trying to get us high?" He's like, "N-word, it's called hospitality." And I'm like, oh my God. It made me laugh a lot.
This movie is fantastic.
Yes.
It's so good. Everything about it. It's so stylistic.
Very stylistic. Very, just the pacing is just phenomenal. Like the editing is just, it serves the narrative so well that it was hard to stop watching at any given. Yeah. Like I wanted more as soon as it was done.
Yes. It's unfair that it's even in this festival.
Really?
Because I feel like it's going to win. It's too good. Like, the guy who made this should just be making movies. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, didn't I? I mean, I hope you make more.
He has to make more because this was fantastic.
Even on his the movie cover, it says 50 plus awards.
Yes, I understand why. It's like flawless.
Yeah, the acting was superb.
I can't think of a single thing that was wrong.
Yeah. I think we just summed it up.
Yeah, I guess we could just maybe talk about a scene that we liked. Like you were talking about when he goes to visit Jerry and he's like this idiot hipster dude. And he's like, hey man, I'm in a kimono. He's like, no, we're like brothers. He's like, you know, that's Japanese, right? Because I believe the main character's Chinese.
Yeah.
And so there's a running joke like that where everyone thinks he's Japanese, which is funny.
His name is Quan.
Quan. Quan Chi wins. Do you know the tale of the frog and the scorpion? Because it's referenced in this. I don't either. And I wish I could tell you what it was. But I like that little reference where they start talking. It's like, hey, this just reminds me of the frog and the scorpion. The guy's like, what? He's like, go Google it. And then as soon as he said that, I was like, well, I guess I got to go Google it. But yeah, it's fantastic. Go watch it.
A scorpion asks the frog to carry him over a river. The frog is afraid of being stung. I have heard this. But the scorpion argues that if it did so, both would sink and the scorpion would drown. The frogman agrees, but midway across the river, the scorpion does indeed sting the frog, dooming them both.
That's fucked up. What the fuck, scorpion? Why you get a death wish?
Well, that's what scorpions do, man.
Man, scorpions are fucking metal.
Get over here! Get over here! Next short film is a traditionally short film. It's only about 3 minutes long, yes. I believe. It's called Suzanneland. Or Suzanneland. Oh, yes. By Andrew Olson and Susan Lee.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the premise of this movie is this woman who she's a nice lady. She's a great lady. She's a nice, well-to-do
lady. Susan,
she gets into an
you're a nice lady.
Yeah, you're very nice. Anyway, she gets into an elevator. And she farts because there's nobody around. And then an old lady comes in the elevator and she dies because of the fart.
Yes. And basically the rest of it is the aftermath of her fart murdering this old, sweet, beautiful woman who was a treasure to everyone and was helping build villages in like Africa or somewhere. I don't know.
The best part of this movie, it's fantastic, but the best part of this movie, and you it's only 3 minutes, so you go watch this fucking movie. It's called Suzanneland. Yeah. Best part of this movie, hands down, has to be at the very end, after everything has transpired.
The little kid
at the end, he's the same little kid from the beginning, he's a little kid at the beginning, is just staring at her like, I know what you did.
And but he's just shaking his head, and then she starts shaking her head ahead. I'm like, it was so surreal and so weird. I loved it.
This was
great.
This is what short films are meant to be. Like, just little tiny packages of goodness.
You could take this and just make a little mini TV show out of it. And I'd be like, all right, cool. I'll watch this and just have like weird shit happen to this lady.
I want to go deeper into the concept of fart murdering, though. I feel like we're onto something here. Well, I mean, I feel like, excuse me, not we, Andrew Olson and Susan Lee, they're onto something, but we have deemed it fart murdering, unless they talked about it on set like that.
Dan, we can take it to the next level. That's all I'm going to say, all right? I don't know if that's stealing ideas.
All I know is now I have the way that I'm going to murder somebody in the future. If I intend to murder somebody,
mm-hmm.
That's how I'm going to do it.
Two words, Dan.
Yes.
Fart gun. You have a hose attached to your anus. It goes into the gun receptacle. And then you point the rifle. You pump. It's pump action, of course. And then farts come out.
If you are coming here as a filmmaker from the All Voices Film Festival, you're welcome.
Yeah, we're professionals. That's all. I mean, it's evident in our reviewing skill. So, you're welcome.
It was a fun short. Go watch it.
Fantastic. It was wonderful. I don't have anything bad to say. It was great, great short little film. All right.
Next film is Code Electro's Shinobi, and I'm pretty sure Code Electro is the guy who directed it. Yeah, that's how he goes by. Basically, this is a fucking music video.
Yes, it tells... is a revenge. Quick revenge, like Neo 80s Tokyo revenge.
Like cyberpunky, but instead of, you know, Blade Runner, it's fucking samurais.
Yes. Pretty cool. Pretty good special effects. Not pretty good. They're great. I thought the special effects
were
fucking awesome.
Some of the effects were great. Most of the effects were great. Some of them I could do without. One of the best special effects was how she gets her eye removed because the lead actress has like an eye patch.
Yeah.
So it's just for a smorgasbord badass. Of just digital effects. It's fucking great in that regard.
It was like they took still images and then made them move.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird, but I liked the style. How it was stylized was it was good. It was great.
Yeah.
And she was like riding up a wall in this DeLorean thing. And she's got to fight a guy with like laser beam eyes. I kind of wanted more of the kung fu fighting when she's fighting all the shinobis. But how they did it was good. And I think it was kind of working within the limitations of she's fighting like CG samurai. So they really can't have her, you know, go, ha, hey, ha. So in that respect, I think they did a good job.
Yeah, absolutely.
It looks great.
It does.
It's just like a great little interesting short film. It has like the intrigue of like her getting revenge for that girl. You know, it's got a lot of stuff going on.
Keep doing your special effects, Code Electro.
Yeah. Like, I certainly would want to see more of this or like you expanding on this. Yeah. Some of these are just good and you should just go watch them.
Yeah.
And there's not much we need to say about them, you know?
Next film.
Inverted Rainbow.
By Harsh Mahadeshwar.
Okay.
Story about a homosexual guy who is sexually assaulted, essentially.
Yeah.
That's a spoiler, but it's a rough watch.
I mean, we're spoiling a lot of this. So you got the guy's looking in the mirror. He's got the clown nose and you're like, okay, this is weird. And then it kind of goes into, it's telling a story with no words, which I loved. I thought this was great. And it's showing this guy who's a mechanic and another man comes in and he's like, I need my car fixed. And he's like going through of them introducing each other and meeting each other. And then they fall in love. And I thought it was funny that the dude gives him, you know, like normally in a film or in real life, somebody gives you their number, not their address. So in this movie, the guy gives him his address, which I thought was like, that is aggressive. Like, maybe talk on the phone first and go on a date before you guys just start going to each other's houses. Like, what the hell? So that was a little weird, but more funny than anything to me. Not really a flaw on the film. But they fall in love, and it's great. I was super into all of this. I was like, this is adorable. It's really showing them being together and in their relationship, and it's going and going with no dialogue. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, this is really cool. And I think it's just sound effects and music that are kind of accompanying it, but no words. And then we get to the forest. Dan, what happens in the forest?
They're having a grand old time dressed in drag and they're like,
it's like
enjoying
a picnic
themselves.
Thing. Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, two bullies come by who have been drinking.
Drunk. Yeah.
And,
assault happens.
But like the placement of this is kind of strange to me. Like just two random guys are in the woods and then two more random guys show up. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I can kind of see that. I don't know. I felt it was like believable because it made me think of like when I was in Connecticut in my younger years in Vermont, we would just run around in the woods and you'd just run into people.
Oh, okay.
You know, people just out in the woods.
Yeah, that makes sense. And the guy with the clown nose, he gets assaulted.
Yes.
And his friend, they're playing tag, and he's nowhere to be seen. And then they slowly walk away from the camera.
Yeah, it's intense. And then it ends with the text crawl of like, you know, I think it's like 1 in 4.
Yeah, 1 in 4 LGBTQ
members of the LGBTQ community has something like this happen to them. And I was like, man, I was having fun and you got to hit me with this, but it was good.
Yeah.
It definitely, it's one of the sadder ones we watched.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought it was well done.
Now, the final film in this episode is going to be Wooloo, written and directed by Oz.
Wooloo!
And it is, in its description, there is a quote. It says it's an ode to Kubrick and Craven, which...
What?
If you're going to put that... All right. If you're going to put that in... Stop laughing. That's rude.
I'm not laughing.
If you're going to put that in your description, those are really big shoes to fill. I'm just going to throw that out there. So the thing that I did not like about this film is the camcorder filter. Okay. I would have loved this film if it didn't have the fucking camcorder filter. Because it's to me, there's no purpose to it.
Okay.
Outside of that, Wooloo is, it's about these girls who are in the woods, and there's this one girl with a book of all these myths that happen in the Midwest, and one of them's a Wooloo, and Wooloo is basically a very tall, slender sprite man.
Wait, no.
He's described as a tall, slender sprite, but when you see him, tell me, what do you see?
He's a diaper head man. It is a naked, skinny, white guy with a diaper on his head.
Now,
and a loincloth.
Here are the good parts of this movie.
Ooh.
The lighting tricks they use.
Uh-huh.
Excellent. They do a lot of really cool things with lighting in this. So if you want to see some good things to steal in terms of lighting, because all filmmakers steal from other filmmakers, obviously, watch this film. It's really good. The other thing was, I'm not going to even lie to you, that part where she's in the bookstore avoiding the Wooloo was really fucking creepy. Not because it's a monster chasing her, but because I put myself in her shoes, and if there's a man in a diaper chasing me around, narrowly missing me each turn,
yeah,
I would be frightened as well.
Dan?
Yes.
What the fuck? So this movie starts out with three girls camping. And they're having a fun old time. And some of the cuts here are just bizarre to me, where it's just like someone starts to say something and then they cut it, and then now it's like somebody else saying a thing, and they start talking about this Wooloo character. The audio is a little weird, and this lady is like, oh, my grandma used to sing to me about the Wooloo, and they're like, okay, why don't you sing the entire fucking Wooloo song? So we're gonna sit here and listen to this lady sing out of key to the Wooloo song. And I was like, you should not have put this in your film. I don't know what you were thinking. It's not good. Please stop. And then I'm like, okay, you know what?
I'm just kidding.
I'm being bad. I'm being a bad boy. If you can't tell, I did not like this film. I didn't like it.
It was the weakest of my picks for sure.
Yes. Boy. And then we see the Wooloo. When we first see the Wooloo and it appears to her in the tent, I laugh so hard for a minute straight.
Like I said, I'm not going to lie to you. I thought the Wooloo was legitimately creepy, but it was funny.
Like, are you kidding me? They should have just never shown the monster. Like, hide the if your monster effects are that bad, don't even show the monster.
Okay? I don't think they were that bad. I'm going to defend this.
All right, you can defend it, but I'm just saying, it's horrendous.
I liked it.
If they played on how silly he looked and made it that, like, they went that way with it, mm-hmm. it'd be great, but they weren't. They went with, like, this is a legitimate threat. And then we have the whole dreamlike thing of her, she keeps jumping around, which I thought was strangely done. Like, I wasn't sure what was going on. And at one point, they almost imply that there's a time-traveling aspect to where she's, like, back at her work. It's and her friend's like, oh, like, yeah. Her friend's like, oh, I can't wait to go on our camping trip together. And I was like, holy shit, did time just reset? That would have been cool. But we didn't stay in that reality. Then she jumps, like, she's in the library. And I'm like, huh, what? I don't know. Or she's, like, at the gas station, like, knocking on the window. Interesting. Like, I liked that. And I liked all the different location sets of them going around to these different spots and her being terrorized by the Wulu. It's just that monster is so goofy.
Well, I hope you can sleep deep at night because he's coming for you.
Oh, no. The Wulu shuffle, baby. So with that, shit, I think we're done.
Wulu!
This concludes our Wulu Watch 2019.
Please find us on Twitter at IndieFilmPod. You can find us on Instagram at IndieFilmReviewPod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com.
Yes, indeed.
We're on Facebook.
We are now proud members of the Necropodicon Network. That's
absolutely
right. The big leagues, baby. We're
find us
up
there. Find other awesome podcasts there as well.
Yeah. They got great movie podcasts. They got great D&D podcasts, comedy podcasts. They're all there. Get in on that.
Get in on it.
That nerd shit, baby. Oh, you like it. Hey, we got a new upcoming Wulu podcast I'm going to start. It's called Wulu Watch. We're going to find him. It's basically my Uncle Gary with a diaper on his head, but he's been lost for 2 weeks now, and we're really worried about you. So, Gary, if you're listening to this, we miss you.
Oh,
we love you.
Shit.
And we want you to stop. Just stop. Okay. Thanks. Hugs and kisses. All right. Thank you, everybody. We also love you for listening and getting this far to the end. That's impressive. And Dan, you have the final word.
Amazon Prime? What's that?
I don't fucking know.